Jen, and today I'm joined by Karen and Brittany. Hey, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
So how was your holiday, ladies? I haven't talked to you guys in forever because we've all been running in 5 million directions. So how's everything going?
It's fine. I've been working a lot, and I'm almost done with my seasonal employment, so I'm looking forward to that. And then I have a couple days off before I start working again, so I'm going to sleep a lot.
It's always an excellent choice. I've had this time off from school too, like no teaching required. And you'll all be able to tell by the amount of books that I have managed to plow through in the last couple of days. It's pretty intense. So I'm kind of excited. Karen, how about you? You traveled right back home to New York, and then now you're back down.
Down south. I went home to New York to be with my family on Christmas, which was nice because I couldn't be there for Thanksgiving. And it was good, you know. Crazy family, but whatever, you can't choose them, right? And but it was a good Christmas, and I got some great stuff, and I got to see some of my friends that I haven't seen in a while, and glad to be home, glad to not be sick anymore. I was sick traveling all day yesterday, and it was the worst, but I am better now.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I feel like you've been sick traveling a lot this year. Like, I feel badly.
Nobody
likes to travel sick.
My dad said that to me, too, and I don't remember it, but apparently that was a thing that's happened to me a lot.
Yeah, I definitely feel like it was this year. Alrighty, so let's get on, because I feel like this episode's going to be lengthy. We have a lot to talk about. This episode is going to be all about the year of 2015, kind of in review. So we're going to pick out some of our favorite things that happened in 2015 related to the book world, some of our favorite books, perhaps, and then talk a little bit about what we're looking forward to in 2016. Lots of big things happening in 2016. So, first off, let's kick off with what we've been reading, as always. So, Karen, go ahead and tell us what you've been up to.
Yeah, I feel like it's been a while since I've talked about the books that I've read. So if any of these are repeats, I apologize. But the first one I want to talk about is The Yearbook by Carol Masciola, I think is how you say her last name. This wasn't my favorite book in the whole world, but I feel like it'll really speak to some people, which is why I wanted to bring it up. But it's about this girl who finds a yearbook from the 1920s and ends up traveling back in time to that time period and meeting somebody, and she keeps going back and forth in time. And it's kind of an interesting concept, like obviously been done before, but I like the idea that she doesn't necessarily know how it happens. There isn't like some crazy scientific theory. It just kind of does. And she kind of rolls with it, and she becomes more of a person of the 20s than of the modern times. And, you know, people think she's crazy and stuff like that. But the reason why I think it just didn't really speak to me that much is because it kind of skipped around a lot, and it was only about a 200-page book, and I think it would have been much better served as a longer book that kind of went in a more streamlined order instead of skipping over months at a time between the certain events. But if you like time travel books, try that one, see what you think of it, and let me know. But I will say that my two other books I absolutely loved. First one was The Napkin Art of Tim Burton, which was super cool, and it's just literally, there's like a paragraph in the beginning, and that's it. The rest of the book is pictures, and it's just pictures of his art that he drew on napkins while he was in hotels and bars and just traveling around, little doodles, little ideas in his head, and it's really interesting how he can convey a lot of his thoughts and the images in his head on paper and show you kind of like what was maybe around him or the way that his mind works. Like, he would take like cherries and put them on the napkin and make them like the eyeballs of these little monsters that he created. Or like there'd be a stain on the napkin and he would incorporate that into the drawing. And he even drew like Jack and Sally from The Nightmare Before Christmas and a couple of other characters that we already know. And it's a really great gift, actually. I know we're after the holidays mostly, but if, you know, there are any others coming up or birthdays or anything for people who like Tim Burton, this is a great book to get them because it's short, but it's really fun to look at. And each time you look at the pictures, you kind of spot something new. And then, of course, my favorite book of the year is Da Vinci's Tiger by Ellen Elliott. And I've talked about this in a couple of different places, but I think we've decided that I did not actually talk about it on Book Hype yet. But this is a book about Leonardo da Vinci, but it's told from the point of view of a woman named Ginevra. And she lives in Florence, and she is kind of wealthy, but she's also like very intelligent. And back then, like, women couldn't really do anything with that. So she kind of tries to squeeze her way into these different circles of men who are scientists and artists because that's what she's interested in. But she can only do so much because she's a woman. And there's a whole lot more to the story, and it's absolutely fascinating. But what it comes down to is that Leonardo da Vinci was commissioned to paint her portrait. And the way that she was painted was revolutionary for the time because she was in three-quarters profile. She was staring right out at the audience, and she was painted outside. That never happened because women were supposed to be domestic beings, always painted inside the house. And this is absolutely true. The story's just a little embellished for the sake of being an interesting book. But she really existed in history, and the author did her best to create the story of maybe why she decided to have the painting painted this way and what she was like and the other people that she interacted with. So if you like art or history or just like super awesome women who did the best they could with what they had, definitely give this book a try. It's 100% worth it. And she gives she has an afterword in the back where she talks about what she embellished and what was true. So that way, after you read the book, you can kind of see, you know, what really happened and how awesome this woman was, but also kind of see, okay, well, she had to change this little bit or else it wouldn't have made sense for the story, or she had to fill in some gaps. But definitely an easy read, even for people like me who have trouble with historical fiction.
Yes, but it was all about like art history things, which is like totally up your alley.
Yes.
So I feel thanks, like it was Jen. A perfect book for you.
Because you gave it to me. And if you want to send more, I will read them.
I know. You saw the list. So I have boxes that I'm preparing for people. Yes. You have no idea, ladies, what's coming everyone's way because there's a lot. All right. So for me, because I no longer have to study for an exam and I have time off from work, I've maybe read a few books. I feel like I'm back to my old self in my reading game, which is nice. So you guys know our last book that we reviewed on Book Hype was The Year We Fell Down by Serena Bowen. Well, there's a whole Ivy League series, and I maybe consumed the entire series, which is five books in total. And I may have read Graham and Riker's story twice because it is that good. Like, it is, you have to read it. It's the third book in the series, and it is beyond perfection. Like, I don't even know. I adored that book. I would recommend it to anybody. I've read lots of romance this past couple of weeks, and now I have my pile of YA that I'm starting on, so next time it'll all be YA books, don't worry. I've also read It's Only Love by Marie Force. It's a Green Mountain novel, so it's set in Vermont, which is fairly close to me, so I always think it's really funny when they talk about this like family-run like store in the middle of Vermont, which, because there are a couple of those that I'm like, did she base it off of this store? Like, is it? Like, it's kind of funny. And then A Good Debutante's Guide to Ruin by Sophie Jordan, and it's just a funny book. Sassy heroine set in, you know, it's a historical romance, which is one of my faves, so kind of love that one. Wrong Number, Right Guy, which is The Bourbon Street Boys. It's by L. Casey. I wasn't as in love with that one as I wanted to be. Like, it has a really, really great premise, but I'm not sure the execution was up to standard. But, you know, it was a fun read. And then My Kind of Wonderful by Jill Shalvis. And that's one of her Cedar Mountain series. So it's set in Colorado amongst the Rocky Mountains, and a family owns kind of like a ski resort up there. And so it's really just kind of this fun family novel where each one is like a different sibling that's the main character of the story. So, again, lots of fun, lots of things read. I feel like I accomplished a lot reading those books in this last like week or so. And then today, or it came out just today, is Sarah McLean's new novel, and it's called The Rogue Not Taken, and it's her Scandal and Scoundrels book one of the series. And I love Sarah McLean. If you want to read really fantastic historical romance with strong female leads that's really sassy and fun, pick up a Sarah McLean book. Like, you gotta do it. And this one is like hysterical. It's meant to be like the Kardashians meet Regency England kind of thing, and the premise of it is just really, really funny. It's about these really outlandish three sisters, kind of like the Kardashians, but, you know, set in a time where you're really not supposed to be an outlandish female. So I'm kind of excited about it. And I'm going to start reading that the second we're done with this, probably. So, you know, I have plans for this evening, obviously. Very exciting ones. All right. So moving along, let's talk a little
bit.
I read one. I'm sorry, you read it. It's not listed. That's why I missed you. I'm so sorry. Tell us what you read, Brittany.
I made a note.
I'm sorry. I'm spacey, I guess.
it's fine because, like, for the past 6 book types, I have not read anything. So it's kind of par for the course that you would think that. Yeah, so I read Big Dead Place Inside the Strange and Menacing World of Antarctica because I'm working on a project about that book, and it's really funny. It doesn't sound funny, but it's really hilarious the way these people live in Antarctica when they're there for research. Not unlike how The Big Bang Theory, that one episode, how they lived, where they were like eating food that came in packages.
I love that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So that was that's a really interesting read. And then the other book that I read, I bought for my nieces, and it's called The Day the Crayons Came Home by Drew Daywalt and Oliver Jeffers. And last year I bought them The Day the Crayons Quit. And this year they come home, and it's hilarious and adorable. And there's a toddler crayon who is so cute and fat in it. And he explains his troubling world of things that they've been used, like the colors, say, like, you know, what they've been used to like color in. And like, they all have like weird names, like sweet pea green. And he's like, no one likes peas. Like, this is awful. I'm petitioning for a name change. And it's like, they're so good. If you have any younger people in your lives, you should buy them these books. That's all I read.
Love
one
it.
Children's book.
Love it.
And one real book.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I got my niece and my nephew a book called Mother Bruce. And it's about a bear who's kind of like the mother goose of the story. And he's a little grumpy and stuff. It's super cute. So if you're looking for little kids' books, that's definitely one to get. Kind of love it. All right. So moving right along, let's talk about, so our book bites this episode is going to be all about, maybe you guys got some things for Christmas or holiday season that were book related. Did you guys get anything? After our massive gift guide, if no one in our lives got us anything book related, I'm going to be super sad. Ladies, did you get anything?
Stuff.
I did not.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't really either, unless you count the exorbitant amounts of Amazon gift cards, which don't really count. But anyway.
I mean,
yeah, I got gift cards.
I got an Amazon gift card that's definitely going to be going toward books from Amazon. I got a couple of bags, which are really good, like laptop and book bags. So I'm excited to trek those around. I also got Alexander Hamilton, the book that was that the play was based off of. So it's a beast.
Oh, yes.
It's a beast, but I plan on reading it over like the next year because it's probably going to take me that long. And then also, I have a really sad / really cool story about another gift that I got, which was my aunt gave me Shadows of Forgotten Ancestors by Carl Sagan. And this was the book that my grandfather was reading when he died, which I know sounds like super morbid, but he made little notes in the book and about like certain passages, and he put asterisks like next to the interesting parts. And he died like quite a while ago, but she just recently received this book and read it herself and then decided to give it to me because I was really close with my grandfather. So really excited to get that and to read it and go through it and see what my grandpa wrote in there. But I think that it's pretty cool that my favorite gift was this like old beat up hardcover book by Carl Sagan. And yet, you know, like It doesn't always have to be a new book. It could be something like that that can really mean something to another person if you decide to give it to them. So, yay.
Oh, I think that's super sweet. I love books like that, though, that have meaning and that are more than just a, you know, a pretty new book. Like, I love that. I love old books. I have a whole collection of old books.
Yes.
That I just, because they're old and they're different and it's not what books look like anymore.
Like, and I just love it. They smell good. So. I love the smell of old books.
I understand. They do. I do love that. All right. So let's move right along and discuss some of the big things that happened in 2015 regarding books. But more importantly, let's discuss our favorite books of 2015. I'm going to start because I feel like I can. I think my favorite book, I'm just going to do it. It's going to happen. I think my favorite book of 2015 and a lot of people's in Unhypeable Staff's favorite book of 2015 was Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda. We read that way back in the spring and it was just the most delightful thing I think we had all read. I don't think one of us could say one bad thing about it. And we talked about it and raved about it and we're still raving about it. That book is just, it's fantastic and lovely and everyone should read it. And then another book that I read that I really, really loved this year, it was called Locke and Maury by Heather Petty. And it's a Sherlock book and it takes Sherlock and flips him on his head. It's like the tagline is basically when Sherlock was the sidekick. And so it's basically about a young or, you know, teenage Sherlock Holmes and his best friend, Jane Moriarty. And it's kind of fantastic. I'm not going to lie. You guys definitely, if you like Sherlock in any way, shape or form, that book is so well plotted and so just takes twists and turns that you don't ever see coming. And it's so fantastic. It takes all the characters you know and love and just makes them something slightly different. And it's phenomenal. So you guys definitely, definitely have to pick up that book. If you have not read it yet, it is by far one of my favorite Sherlock books I've ever read. So of the newer contemporary set, I should say. So those are my two. I mean, there are other things I read. Like I loved Magnus Chase, which is, you know, that's definitely a different book for me. So that was another thing. I really just loved the diversity of it and how, you know, unique it was and all that good stuff. So, all right. Who wants to go next? Who had another favorite book?
I'll go next, I suppose.
Okay.
I forgot about Magnus Chase. So that one didn't make it on my list.
Karen.
But I loved Magnus Chase. Now that you reminded me, that is a thing that exists.
Oh my God. It must have been a banner year if Karen forgot Magnus Chase, is all I'm saying.
I really loved Magnus Chase, and I'm super excited for the rest of the books. I think I just got I tried to pick some of the smaller books that don't get tons of attention, and I think that's why it just, like, forgot to come into my radar. But obviously Da Vinci's Tiger, I've already talked about that. But the other one that I really loved, you guys probably remember me talking about, was Need by Joelle Charbonneau, which is that social media kind of when social media goes wrong type of thing. And I just think it's a really relevant book and very well written and really exciting. So I definitely recommend that.
I don't need to say what my favorite book of 2015 was. Oh. I just shouldn't have to say it at this point in time. It was Hold Me Close to the Tiny Cooper.
Like, does anyone not
story?
Know this?
If I would love it.
Raise your hand.
I wrote about it for Hypo. but I also really, really liked The Further I Get Away From It. I really enjoyed Go Set a Watchman a lot more than I anticipated liking it. So, yeah, I really liked that book.
Excellent. Anything else? Did you read Carry On? How did you feel about that? Because it had such, like, huge hype going into it.
You know, it was fine. Yeah, it was fine. It didn't blow me out of the water. It wasn't what I was expecting, I should say. The way that she built the relationship of Simon and Baz, it wasn't the way that I thought she was going to go with it. It felt more like less like what I would expect Cather to write and more what I expected Rainbow Rowell writing fan fiction about her own character's fan fiction, which was, you know, already a complicated endeavor in of itself. But I don't know. It was okay. It was a good, like, you know, 2.5 hours of my life. Probably won't read it again. I've read Fangirl like 4 times, but I probably like what was constructed in Fangirl more than I did with what happened happened with Carry On.
All right, all right. I was curious about how people would react to that one. All righty. So moving on, let's talk a little bit about the world of books. There was a lot of things that happened in between the world of books and the world of book adaptations, because that's always kind of a big thing. First of all, this year, Marvel via Disney has launched an entire series of YA books, which started with the Black Widow series, which was written by Margaret Stoll. So Marvel has launched this entire YA series. They're not necessarily going to be directly related to any of the films or any of the like the MCU universe kind of thing, but they're all there. And I think it'd be hard pressed to not be somehow related, even if it's not like super directly related. You still have the backstories that are relevant to both the movies and the books. So it'll be interesting to see how those play out. And like I said, we got our first one this year with Black Widow, and we're all here, even if Skype is not participating fully. So also this year, we had the last Hunger Games movie, Mockingjay Part 2, because clearly taking one book and making it two parts of a movie is the only way to go in Hollywood. So Karen, you're the only one who's seen Mockingjay Part 2, so why don't you go ahead and tell us what you thought of it?
Can't believe you guys didn't watch it. I thought it was good.
We are slackers.
No, I really forgot about it. When it came out, I was like, oh, right, this is coming out. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, it's been out for a month and a half.
That's so funny. Yeah, I saw opening night in IMAX because Kristen and I were like, this is a movie we should see in IMAX. And that was my first IMAX movie. And I thought it was fantastic. I know some people are like, you know, it should have still been one movie. I think it actually is one of the few movies that makes sense having been broken up the way it was. This one was much more like a war movie for me. And it was really intense, and I cried, and it was fantastic. I really liked it. So you guys got to go see it.
Yeah, anyway. Rick Riordan, after he launched Magnus Chase on us this year, which was fantastic, also announced to the world that a little bit more Percy in our lives one last time. So Karen, do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I will always talk about Rick Riordan news. Yeah, Trials of Apollo is coming next year, I think in March. Is it March? No, I don't remember. And we never thought we were going to get more Percy, so this is really, really exciting. And, of course, we're going to have more Magnus Chase as well with the Hammer of Thor in October of next year, so two Rick Riordan books next year, which I'm very excited about. I don't know how he does it. I just care that he does.
It's super impressive, to be quite honest, given that he, like, the amount of things that go into one book for him, like, maybe he's got it down to, like, a science.
Yeah.
How he writes these books and he can produce them more quickly, but they're intense. There's a lot of detail in these novels, so it's pretty exciting.
May 3rd is Trials of Apollo, not March.
I thought it was later spring, which is, yeah. All right, well, that's another thing to add to our list of things to do, which is pretty exciting. Another thing this year, I don't know if you guys know, I think we talked about this a couple times. It was like YouTubers, you know, launched themselves on the book world and tried to take over. I think some of the most popular YouTubers out there, there were 7 different YouTubers that have books that came out this year. Many of them are memoirs, which I think is super funny because these are like people who are in their very early 20s, maybe in their late teens, and they have memoirs out. I'm like, what is your memoir about exactly?
They're like people who made their living with their lives on the internet.
So what am I going to read that's going to be so fascinating?
Like, I feel like, what don't...
Yeah, I'm totally there with you. So, I don't know. Did any of you guys read any of them?
No.
Yeah, no. Me either. There is one that's an actual fiction book. And it's The Sunshine Girl. I forget. It's by Paige McKenzie, her name is. That one's pretty cool. It's like got a creepy vibe to it. And the second one is coming out this spring. Or earlier, actually. It might be coming out in February. But those are really cool because it's fiction. So even though she's a big YouTuber, her books are not like based on her life that we already get to see all the time on YouTube. So I thought that was pretty cool. I think it's really interesting that turned to YouTubers and started optioning a lot of their novelizations of their lives and stuff. It's an interesting move. I think YouTube has become this really big deal. I know there was a feature article in, I think it was the Huffington Post, earlier this week or late last week, about BookTubers and these three people who do BookTube and are like an online book club video for like through YouTube. So I think that's going to be the new thing. It's all about YouTube in any arena, not just in a video vlog or whatever. So it'll be interesting to see how that continues and how the book world continues to react to YouTube and vloggers and what they do with that. So moving right along, some other things this year. So let's talk a little bit about, and I know we all laughed really hard when I brought this up, but this was the year of surprise books. Many of you may recall it was Twilight's 10th anniversary this year. Interesting as well, it was also Percy Jackson's 10th anniversary this year. So they came out at the same time, which I didn't realize at first until I
No.
was just thinking about it.
Wow, I didn't realize that either. That's
Yeah,
crazy.
they both had a 10-year anniversary this year. So it's nuts, right? So anyway, for the Twilight 10-year anniversary, Stephenie Meyer wrote kind of like in a new book, I guess. It was a role reversal, and so Edward became, the Bella and vice versa, and yeah, so there was that. That's what you got for like the 10-year anniversary, which is interesting, I guess. But the really fascinating part was the other surprise book of this year, and by surprise I meant nobody really knew it was coming until it was like in your face. What was Grey told from Christian Grey's point of view? So for any of you listeners out there who know how kind of 50 Shades of Grey sprung up on the world as a fan fiction for Twilight, you'll see why this is immensely funny to me. Or maybe it's not so funny, I don't know, but I find it highly amusing. I don't know. Did any of you guys read either of those things? I ask, knowing you didn't probably.
No.
No.
Yeah, I had to read Grey. It was my turn to take one for the team for Hypeable, so I was the one who had to read Grey and pick the quotes out of it for us. So I suffered through that, and it was painful, just as painful as you might expect. But I did not read the Twilight role reversal one because I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Oh, it was someone else's turn. So it's interesting how we had surprise books. I wonder how somebody keeps a book that big with fandoms that are that large kind of under wraps. Like, how did nobody know about that?
Yeah, that was, and especially because it was almost like, okay, this is hitting shelves next week. It wasn't like, this is coming in 2017. It was like, no, you can buy this now.
Right. And there were hard copies. So it wasn't like,
Yeah.
I mean, they went to print, so lots of people knew and saw. So I think that's what I think fascinated me the most about this whole situation was that in this day and age with social media, and I mean, there are books that have been leaked in full, long before they were ever, put on a shelf. So the fact that they are out, that these were kept surprise, I think was super funny to me. And the fact that they managed it and pulled it off was even funnier.
Yeah, it was incredible, especially Gray, because all of a sudden it was just like, okay, pick this up now. And I was like, what?
No, you're like, do I have to? All right. So, anything else in 2015 that you guys want to talk about? Anything else from this year that you were like, yes, this was amazing?
It's hard to
I don't know. I
remember.
think,
I know. I was gonna say,
yeah,
to be
it's so
fair,
much.
this is like the hardest show we ever do because you're like, was it 2015? Was that earlier? When was that?
Yeah, it's
And
like
like,
things that happen in February. I'm like, you sure that didn't happen like 3 years ago?
I know. It's so hard to remember. That's why
I
I was
feel
trying
like
to.
Hold Me Closer, the Tiny Cooper story came out 5 years ago. But
Yeah, because we've talked about it
it
so
was in March.
much. Was it really in March? I felt like
Yeah, it
it
was
was
St.
like,
Patrick's Day.
oh wow. For me, it felt like it was like recent. Like, I don't
Yeah,
know.
no, because I read it on the train full of drunk people who were going to New York City
Oh well,
to
there you go.
party. And I was sitting there reading Hold Me Close to the Tiny Cooper story.
You're like, this is how we do. I love it. All
Yeah.
right. So I know. Let's look ahead a little bit because I think 2016 is going to hold some pretty awesome things in the book world for us. First, we have a couple of adaptations, but I think the biggest adaptation, or one of the biggest adaptations, is going to hit pretty soon in January, and that's for The Fifth Wave, which is Rick Yancey's like totally creepy alien invasion story. Anyone who has seen Star Wars has probably seen the trailer for The Fifth Wave. So, what do you guys think about
Or
The Fifth
joy.
Or really, The Pit in Front of Joy?
Or Love the Coopers, which was an awful movie. Do not see it. they showed it there too, which I was surprised because I was like, this doesn't fit what I'm about to watch.
Yeah, that's an odd combo.
So
what do you guys think?
But
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how I feel about it. And to be completely honest, I have not read the book yet. It's been sitting on my shelf since like two BEAs ago when, Jen, I believe you got it for me, which I'm still very thankful for, but I have not yet read it. But I don't know. The movie just doesn't get me excited. And I really want to see it anyway. I want to read the book first, but I don't know. As somebody who has read the book, does it look like it's going to be a good adaptation?
I think they're staying fairly, like they're trying to stay fairly true to what is there for them. It's a pretty action-packed book for the most part. It's pretty cool. It could go one of two ways. It could really, really work and everyone will be pleased with it, or it could go kind of like the way of like The Host. So it's just going to depend. And I really haven't seen enough of it yet to know which way it's going to go, but we'll know soon enough considering it comes out in January. So that is definitely something everyone should keep their eye out for. Also, adaptations more because there's, you know, why would there only be one? Let's face it. There's a ton of adaptations coming in 2016. On the TV scale, there's going to be Shadowhunters, which comes out January 12th. It'll debut on Freeform, formerly known as ABC Family. Just in case you get confused. I don't get that either. Just call it ABC Family. No teen is going to be more excited to be like, oh, I'm watching that on Freeform. Really?
Yeah, it's really? Freeform's Harry Potter Weekend. That just does not have the same
ring. It just doesn't work for me.
ABC Family Harry Potter.
Exactly. I'm a full-grown adult and I still watch ABC Family, darn it. Anyway, so Shadowhunters will be hitting that in just a couple of weeks. I've seen clips and stuff from Shadowhunters. Here's the deal. I think it looks cool. I love the guy that is playing Alec. Like, I think he's fantastic. I love the person who's playing Izzy. I think she is awesome. I think it has a lot of potential. What could happen is that those who are faithful readers of the book, and again, this is a book that came out in 2008. So we're looking at a book that's, you know, 8 years old. So it's been modernized a little bit. The characters have been aged up so that things can work a little differently. And a little bit of the premise has been adjusted. So for anyone who's seen the trailers, you can tell that Valentine is a very present figure. It's not this mysterious guy who's supposed to be dead. It's a little bit more than that. It's a little bit different than that. So some of that premise has changed. But the overall characters and the relationships that we all want, they're still very much within the storyline. So I think I'll be interested to see how people react to it. And, you know, see an episode in its entirety. I know the cast has worked really hard on it. Every time you see interviews with them, every time you talk to them, they're super excited. They're very invested in this. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out and how people respond to it. And, you know, ABC Family tries pretty hard. They've got some pretty cool stuff on there. They're trying to take a different path, I think, than just from the very, you know, like, My Secret Life as an American Teenager. They're kind of moving away from that and into some different more like fantasy and sci-fi stuff, which is cool. So how do you guys feel? Are you guys going to watch Shadowhunters? I know we've all talked about it. We've all talked about, you know, Magnus Bane and everything else. And so what do we think?
I'm definitely
going to watch it.
Yeah. I liked the movie. So as one of the five people who actually liked the movie, I don't think the television show could be any worse, honestly. So I'm excited just to see. I really like book adaptations on the small screen. I think that it works out so much better for the fans of the books if it can be a television show that can have, you know, like 10 to 20 hours invested in the story instead of two. So the fact that they're bringing it to television, I think, is really exciting.
Yeah, and this is definitely different. This is not a normal thing where, you know, a book adaptation gets a movie, it doesn't do well, and then within a year or so, it gets a TV adaptation. So I think that's pretty impressive, actually, that you know, they stuck with it and they believed in the product, and so they're giving it a different shot. So I think that's super interesting. So I'm curious to see how it plays. Anyway, and Karen, this next one, This next one is your new baby on MTV. MTV is stepping up its game, people, in a big way. They are adapting the Shannara Chronicles. And Karen has some insider information. She's maybe seen a little bit of it.
I've maybe seen the first four episodes, and they're really good, you guys. Like, I saw the first two at a screening in New York, and I was kind of on the edge. I was like, I don't know, maybe I've, like, put too much, you know, forethought into this and expected something else, and I was a little disappointed, and I was a little worried about how it would hold up. And all this stuff was going through my head, and then I watched them again, and I was like, I have zero problems with the first two episodes that I did when I saw them the first time. It was so much better than I remembered. And the next two episodes after that were even better than that. And I think that they've put so much energy into this in all of the right places. Like, the CGI isn't the greatest, but it's way better than most television CGI. And the storyline is good. The actors are amazing. The guy who plays Will is the star of the show, in my opinion. I love him so much. He's hilarious. And I think that if you go into this not knowing anything about the books, it's fine, because that's how I'm doing it too. And I think it's really going to hold up in terms of it basically looking like a movie on your television screen. Like, it's, the sets are incredible and the CGI is incredible and the story feels so huge that this could have easily been a movie, and yet they decided to take it to MTV, and MTV is running with it. They are so serious about this being their next big show that they've sent out, like, $600 media packages. $600. It was a box of dirt with the CDs inside buried, and you had to dig through it to get the screeners out. They're putting everything in this, and I think it's well worth it. So I hope everyone at least gives it a chance.
See, MTV burned me when they canceled the other show I liked so much, so I'm a little bitter towards them right now. But to be fair, the Shannara Chronicles do look super, super cool. So I will probably watch it.
Was that eye candy?
I'm super upset. Yes.
Yeah, I'm mad at them for that too.
I felt like there was more story to tell there, man.
There was. They were so setting up for a second season.
That was so sad. So sad. Anyway, enough about my bitterness with MTV. Now we're going to move on to yet another TV adaptation. And for those of you who were super savvy and following Lev Grossman on Twitter, you may have discovered that The Magicians had a special airing of their first pilot episode on the Sci-Fi Channel on December 17th, I think it was, 16th? The 16th. And so Brittany and I have both watched it. And I'm going to let Brittany start, because she has maybe some strong feelings about this situation. So go ahead, Brittany.
Yeah, I do. So I'm glad that Lev wrote this little guide before the episode on his website saying, like, listen, this is not the book you read, so you should know that immediately going into the show. And I'm glad he did, because what happens is they're applying for graduate school as opposed to college. So Break Bills in the original Magician's book is a college, and in this television series it's a grad school, so that makes sense as to why all the characters are a bit older. And when I first saw the casting of Quinn, I was like, this is horrible, why is he so old? But overall, I think I need about 4 more hours before I can make a complete judgment on how they're doing, because right now they're only up to about chapter 4 in the first book by the end of the pilot. And what they've done so far with showing the magic is really cool. They're kind of speeding through all the logistics of the world, which I don't necessarily like so far. I'm like, you have the amount of hours that you have, you shouldn't be rushing through it. And they're doing this weird thing with how they're incorporating. So for those of you who don't know, The Magicians is like this guy, Quentin, read these books that were just like Harry Potter, but he thought these books were cooler, about, like, you know, these brothers and sisters who travel to this magical world, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, the way that they're incorporating that part of the story into this new series is a little odd, but I think it's going to be okay if you don't try to focus on what happened in the actual book. And I loved this trilogy. I really, really liked it a lot. So I was very nitpicky the first time I watched it. But you really, I don't think you can be in order to watch the show. However, one major problem that I don't think I'll ever get over is the way that they're playing Elliot, who is one of the best characters in the whole series. He's just, in the books, he's like this like brooding like guy who sits in the corner. You don't really know a lot about him until he spends some time with Quentin. And here he's like flashy and overdone and like very like full of himself, but in a loud way. And like, I just don't like what they're doing with him, but I'm going to stick it out. And I think you should watch it anyway.
Yeah. See, first of all, it's on Sci-Fi. So I used to watch Lost Girl on Sci-Fi all the time. So I like production quality wise, it's on par with that. So I'm used to that. It doesn't bother me so much. There were a couple things. It felt kind of clunky and choppy. The pilot episode, that it was my only, like my major thing was like, it felt like it like cut really quickly to things and there were too many gaps. Like there were things that should have been filled in. And there was like a random like sex and magic scene that was really weird. And like, that's a little odd. If we could play that a little bit differently, it would be helpful. But okay. But again, Sci-Fi does that. They have these very sexual moments within some of their TV shows, especially for anyone who's seen Lost Girl, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So I don't know. Like, I think it has a lot of potential. I think I agree with a lot of what you said about characterizations and things. And so I'm going to give it a little more time and see what happens. But I think it has a lot of potential because the books are so good and they're super cool. It's kind of like this weird mashup between Narnia, you know, the Chronicles of Narnia and Harry Potter, like the way it plays through. So I'll be really curious to see how it continues forward. So I definitely say check it out. That debuts, it's a double episode. That debuts on January 25th on the Sci-Fi channel. It's my rule of thumb with adaptation stuff. You got to give it, especially if it's on TV, you got to give it a little time to kind of get its legs because as a book reader, you know things that are different than a TV watcher. So they're going to start the story different or tell the story a little bit differently. And there's always something cool about that too. There's always something you can gain from that as a book reader. So I said, go for it. All right. So there are a couple books that Karen and I, separately, not necessarily together, are looking forward to coming up in 2016. For me, the book I am at this point in time most looking forward to is the last Raven Cycle book. For any of you who've read Maggie Stiefvater's Raven Cycle, I feel like we've been waiting for that book forever. And I love that series like with a passion. Love it, love it, love it. And then I know Natalie Unhypable and Brooke Unhypable are also like crazy passionate about these books. So we like get in a little like group and we talk about it sometimes and we maybe fan cast the movies because, well, come on, who doesn't do that in their spare time? No? Okay. So the Raven Cycle is definitely something I am super, super psyched about. And then Karen, I see you've written in another one whilst I was talking. So go ahead and talk about your now two books that you're like dying for this spring.
It's so hard to remember all of this stuff. And you're like, oh yeah, I forgot I was excited about this like, you know, 6 months ago when we first heard about it. And then you don't remember until it comes out and you're like, man, I need to pre-order that. Yeah, my first one obviously is Calamity by Brandon Sanderson, which is the third book in the Steelheart series, third and final. And the end of the second book was really intense and some stuff happened that I don't know how they're going to come back from it. Somebody kind of went dark side and it's going to be really cool to see what he does with it and to hopefully get some answers as to like how exactly this world works and why everything kind of turned out the way that it did. So hopefully this book will kind of give us everything that we've been wanting. And yeah, I'm super excited about it. Hopefully I can get my hands on that soon. And then the other one is The Raging Sea by Michael Buckley, which is the second book following Undertow, which you guys heard me talk about a lot last year, I think it was. God, I don't even remember.
Yes, it was. Well, was it, we did it for Book Hype
this year.
I think it was the very beginning of this year.
Yeah, I think maybe. It came out at the end of last year.
I know we did it for a Book Hype close, semi-close.
To BEA.
Thank you. My brain, it was so like, it was coming up with all the wrong B things. Like it was not happening. Sorry. Yes, that. It was close to that because we saw him at BEA and he was very excited.
And, you know, when this book comes out, maybe we'll have a little something special for you guys. So tune in for that.
Ooh, yes. That's right.
That is a thing we should probably think about soon.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, we should probably get on that, Karen. I'm kind of excited about that book too. I really liked that book. I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to when you described it to me. I was like, you want me to read what?
I know. It's so weird, but man, it just works.
Yes. So, let's see. I'm really excited about it. And the ending of that book was pretty like wide open as well. So it'll be pretty exciting to see. All right. So Brittany, do you have any books that you're like dying to get your hands on in 2016?
No, Oprah's memoir comes out in 2017. So.
Oh, so you're just biding your time.
Yeah, no. Unless Maureen Johnson can finish The Shadow Cabinet. Oh my God, I need it so badly, you guys. I just want the rest of that series in my hands.
I know it's painful when we have to wait. It's not okay. Like, it's not. They should have to sit down and write the whole series at once and then dole them out slowly over like several months rather than years, because years is painful.
I know.
It's terrible. All right. So, and let's talk a little bit about the super big, ginormous things that are happening next year in the bookish / playish / movie world. And that has lots to do with our lovely J.K. Rowling and everything and anything having to do with Harry Potter. This year, as many of us know, she announced the sort of eighth installment of the Harry Potter verse, and that's going to be the Cursed Child play that's happening in London beginning in June. Several of us from Hypewell are going at different times to check out this masterpiece of a play, which she helped write and create, which is super, super cool. And it's, you know, this whole new Harry Potter tale. Picking up with Harry and Ron and Hermione as adults. So what do you guys think about that? That was kind of huge news. That kind of rocked the whole fandom when it came out.
I think I was like numb when it was announced, and it's slowly hitting me over time. I am very, very excited. A lot more than I initially was. And when it was first announced, I was like, oh, I'm not getting excited about this. Why am I not excited? And then I think it was because it's a very slow build. And it's happening, and I'm getting more and more pumped as we approach 2016.
Yes. Karen, any thoughts about The Cursed Child?
I don't care about it. I think I'm just bitter. I think I'm just bitter because I'm never going to see it. And I don't know. Honestly, I kind of felt like Brittany when it was first announced. Like, I don't even think I read any of the articles about it. I was just like, this is something I'm never going to see. And whenever we get like this outside Harry Potter stuff, I'm always kind of afraid to read it. Not that I'm like really dedicated to like the core Harry Potter, like the books and nothing else, like Pottermore, you know, superfluous, whatever. Like, I do find that stuff interesting, but I think it's just hard for me to take in all this stuff, especially so long after the fact. And I don't know, maybe when it gets closer, maybe when we learn more stuff about it. Like, obviously we just had the casting, which was pretty exciting. I'm hoping that some other stuff will trickle out and maybe I'll get excited about it. But right now I'm still just very numb about it. And I guess it's not that I don't care, that I think it's like stupid or anything, but it's not within my immediate like reach. And so I'm like, okay, I don't really have to think about this right now.
Yeah, no, I get it. Totally get it. All right. And then a little more Harry Potter business. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is going to be a film. So that's accessible to everyone, which is super cool. And it's kind of an adaptation based on one of the very slim novels that was like an addition to, you know, the regular Harry Potter books. It was kind of like a filler to give you some background information on like one of Harry Potter's textbooks. So this I'm really excited about because I love, love, love the time period it's set in. Like, I'm just stoked about the time period, and like the images we saw were super cool. And I think it'll be super fun. How do you guys feel about Fantastic Beasts?
Now, this is something I can get behind
again. Yeah. Okay, good. I was getting a little nervous for the Harry Potter universe and Karen's relationship. But again, this was again something that I was like meh about until I saw a picture of Eddie Redmayne and I'm like, all right, I'm in.
I'm telling you, those images and just there's something about that world that's just so phenomenal. And this is, again, kind of like a new story because there is no book that it's directly coming from. There's nothing that we know about it yet. This is something that she's kind of come up with that's separate. And I'm just really excited. And again, the time period and all of that stuff, I love it. So I'm really excited about it. And I hope we get to see a lot of cool beasts. I think it'll be really fun. And then for Karen and for all comic book lovers out there, we have, of course, all the obscene amounts of comic book adaptations. But I know Karen and I are on the same page with this one. The one we are most excited for is Deadpool.
Oh my God. That last trailer, I watched it like 6 times in a row because it is so good.
Yeah, I love Ryan Reynolds at his snarkiest.
Yes.
And like Deadpool just allows him to be whatever. Like it is just like when he's sitting on the bridge, like doing the rap, I'm just like, oh, this is fantastic. I love it. Like I've seen the trailer like a bajillion times and I just can't get enough of it because when we were at Comic-Con in July, I was in Hall H when that panel was happening and they showed the trailer and I've never seen people go so crazy. Like they were crazy for this movie and I can't wait. Like I love Ryan Reynolds when he is in that mode and he's just so much fun and they poke a little fun at his Green Lantern character, which I think is really funny too. So
Exciting. I think one of the best things about this movie is that it feels so different, and like they even address that in true Deadpool fashion in the trailer when they're like, I thought this was supposed to be a superhero movie and here you've just kebabbed somebody. And I think that's gonna be such a cool thing about Deadpool is that it's kind of gonna break all of those boundaries and it's gonna feel very different in a world of so we get superhero movies like every 2 months. So Deadpool is really going to stand out. And I think as long as it holds up to what we've seen in the trailers and they're not using all of their best material in the trailers, it is going to be a fantastic movie.
Yeah, I think what's different is here's the other thing. Deadpool is rated R. All other superhero movies are PG-13 to have a much more larger market share. Deadpool is not. They let it go. I mean, and so it's like more of a high intensity action film with, you know, a guy in a red suit. Like really that's what it comes down to. So I don't know. I'm just super excited for the snark and for the fun that's going to come along with Deadpool. Like I'm excited. It looks really bloody and gory. Like if you've seen the trailer where it's not like where it's on like YouTube and stuff. So it's not edited for proper viewing. Mm-hmm. It's pretty graphic in the violence department, but I will tolerate that.
I accidentally clicked on the Green Band trailer and was like, screw this, and went and found the Red Band trailer because it's just not the same. Like,
no.
When he's not swearing and there isn't like a bunch of people losing their heads and getting shot and stuff, it doesn't feel the same.
Karen and I are like, yes, bloodshed and cursing. We're not normally like this, I swear. So we have Deadpool. We have Batman versus Superman featuring Wonder Woman. And I saw the trailer that actually included Wonder Woman this time in front of Star Wars the second time I saw it. Loved it. And Lex Luthor, can I tell you, Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor, friends, he's like cray, like on a whole different level. So very fun. So we have that. And of course we have Captain America 3, Civil War, in which the majority of Avengers will play a role. There's a lot coming our way this year when it comes to superhero films, right? Oh, Karen, yes, I forgot about that. But yes, Karen just added another movie and I almost forgot it. Because I think it was supposed to come out this fall and then they bumped it. But Pride, Prejudice, and a Little Zombies is coming out this fall, the spring rather. I think it's February.
Yes.
Maybe March, February.
Because I figured out that like 3 of my favorite things all come out in February and they all involve zombies and or kind of dead people. So you've got Deadpool, The Walking Dead comes back on Valentine's Day, and Pride and Prejudice and Zombies comes out a little bit before that.
Excellent. And Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, if you guys don't know, several years ago, the mashups of classic stories with crazy, weird things was all the rage. And I think his name is Seth Graham. He just went out there and killed it. And his first mashup was Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies. And it is just, it's a lot of fun. I've seen, if you guys haven't seen the trailer for this, please go check it out. Because it's so,
so badass.
Funny. It is. Because it plays the straight up Pride and Prejudice part, but literally they are zombie slayers. But everything else of Pride and Prejudice is there. It is the story. Like, it's so exciting. I can't even tell you guys. Like, and Matthew Smith is in it, and Lily James, and the whole dynamic between Darcy and Elizabeth is there, except Elizabeth and her sisters are badass zombie hunters. Like, I can't even.
It sounds like it shouldn't work, and yet you see the trailer and you're like, oh my god, this looks amazing.
It really, really does. And like, Matt Smith is Mr. Collins. I mean, guys, seriously, come on. So I don't know. That comes out in February. That is like a must see. I feel like it's a must. It has to happen. So let's see. I think that covers everything we wanted to talk about in 2016. Of course, we're gonna have a book list of things that we're looking forward to in like the first half of 2016, and all the books we're excited about. That'll be coming out on Hypeable probably by the end of the week. So keep your eye out for that, because you know, lots of good things coming out in 2016. Lots and lots of things. But if we discussed all of them, we'd probably be here forever. Anyway, that pretty much wraps up this episode of Book Hype and everything we were looking forward to. So if you guys have anything that you are specifically looking forward to, make sure you tweet at us, because we want to know. We want to be in the know of all the cool things happening in 2016. So until next time, bye guys!